Hello everyone, I'm Brian Zimmerman, the Custom Content Editor with Becker's Hospital Review. Thank you for tuning in to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast Series. Today I'm pleased to be joined by Dr. David Rue, Microsoft's Chief Medical Officer and VP of Healthcare Worldwide Commercial Business. Dr. Rue, it's a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you, a real pleasure to be here.
Great, so to get started here, can you just tell our listeners a little bit about your background?
Sure, well, first off, I'm a physician. I'm a technologist and I'm a health services researcher, and I've spent the past 25 years looking at ways that technology can be used to improve health outcomes, specifically access to care or quality of care, safety, finding ways that we can remove waste from the system, improve the efficiency, and also improve the experience for both patients and providers. And on that journey, it's taken me through a few different avenues, and one of them was looking specifically at how technology can be used within an electronic health record setting to be able to provide the right information at the right time for physicians and nurses and other clinicians to be able to make smarter decisions. And as part of that journey, a large part of the things that we learned was that workflow was incredibly important for clinicians. But one of the other challenges that we ran into was that while there was so much great information being captured in these visits, a lot of the information that was not being captured was happening outside of the actual visit. And this was in the patient's homes and on the everyday activities that individuals were having. And so for us to really understand the holistic picture of what was going on, it required us to think a little bit more broadly about what does patient data and patient care constitute. And it really is the holistic picture of what people do every day. So in that capacity, I started looking beyond the hospital and clinic settings and started thinking more about consumer technology, the phones you use, the TVs, the homes that you live in. Everything now has sensors. And with that ability to capture information and be able to then potentially bring that information into a common platform could potentially allow us the opportunity to deeply understand what's going on. Now, that was a fabulous time. During the past 6 years afterwards, I spent as chief medical officer at Samsung. We built a whole series of digital tools and applications. But one of the challenges that remained both during my first part of the career while working in the EHR setting and also in the second part of the career working in the consumer tech space was that the data resided in silos. It was in electronic health records. It was in claims databases. It was on wearables. And ultimately, that data needed to move into a more common platform that would allow us to be able to then draw those insights. Well, largely because of interoperability and other factors, we haven't been able to achieve that vision. Fast forward to 21st Century Cures Act, now the CMS interoperability rules, we have an opportunity to be able to pull these data sets from these different systems and allow us to be able to now take advantage of that. I joined Microsoft about a little more than a year ago, and that's been our goal, to be able to take that type of information from these different sources, understand, normalize them, understand the context where they're coming from, and be able to apply them in very predictive and proactive manners so that we can enable actions that will lead to better care.
Thank you for laying all that out for our listeners, Dr. Rue. I think it's got to be an exciting time to be a technologist working in healthcare.
Oh, absolutely. There are so many incredible things going on. And one of the things that we're recognizing is that technology can have a direct impact on everyone's lives. We oftentimes think of, technology as being part of, what we do. You can't imagine not having your cell phone with you. But, these tools are now part of things that we can now apply for healthcare. And that's one of the most exciting things, to be able to leverage all the different things that we use today, the newer technologies, the advancements, and transforming our experiences.
Absolutely. And I want to ask now about, Microsoft's response to the COVID-19 crisis. I think that's obviously weighing on everyone's minds and certainly our listeners. So can you tell me a bit about that and how the pandemic has influenced how Microsoft is working with providers?
Sure, absolutely. So by way of background, I'm in addition to being a physician, I also train as an infectious disease specialist, and during the AIDS epidemic, saw a lot of suffering, but I also saw a lot of ways that we as a global community could come together and share information and ultimately lead to treatments that would allow us to be able to help better control the disease. Well, fast forward to 2020, what we've seen with COVID is that this has also challenged all of us and given us a mandate to figure out ways that we can better address and control this infection. And in that process, when it first hit in the United States, one of the areas that was first hit was within the Kirkland nursing home area. And that, as some of you may know, is close to Seattle. In Seattle, there is one of the largest health systems, Providence Health System. It's also home base for Microsoft. And Providence, being one of Microsoft's close strategic partners, when Providence started experiencing the influx of patients with COVID-19, we similarly felt the need to lean in and help support some of the efforts there. The challenge that we saw initially was one of education and information exchange. What we realized is that people just simply referring them to a website, that didn't give them the individualized recommendations. People want to know, I have diabetes, I have a fever, do I need to come in? I had recent travel. This is something that every individual has a slightly different story, and you need a very specific individualized response. What we did is we took the AI-based chatbot functionality, customized it using CDC guidelines, deployed it within the Providence Health System on their websites and on mobile phones and apps, and ultimately within the first day, we saw a dramatic impact, about a 30 to 40% reduction across the board in terms of call volumes. And what we've also saw was subsequent decreases in foot traffic to the ERs and urgent care centers. And that was particularly important because what was happening is people were interacting with, you know, the worried were interacting with those that potentially were infectious, and we were seeing spread occur throughout, even in healthcare settings. So to be able to have people stay at home or be able to do this outside of those settings, have those answers, and in many ways, then they were given the guidance, not just the answer, but the guidance of what they needed to do, and in some cases, the handoff to a telemedicine visit. And this allowed us to be able to then start thinking about how technology could be applied more broadly to address some of these big challenges. Now, it turns out that this technology that I just shared with you was not only beneficial just for Providence and the Seattle area, but since then, it's been used by over 25 countries. Over 600 million messages have been delivered globally. So a real impact on the COVID crisis through this technology. Now, one other thing, there are so many other areas that we've seen technology be applied that's been impactful. Telemedicine, artificial intelligence to accelerate the understanding of diseases. We're actually doing some significant work with adaptive biotechnology to look at the immune response to COVID, specifically T cell response, and then efforts to enable a safer return to the workplace and to school. All of these enabled through technology. So it's been an incredible journey. We're still continuing to innovate, apply the technologies, and hopefully better manage this crisis.
Yeah, it's impressive to see, you know, to hear about all that work you're doing and how fast you've spread these messages, you know, to other providers. And thinking about how the work Microsoft is doing to help providers right now, you know, I know you just recently launched Microsoft Cloud for Healthcare. Can you tell me a little bit more about that and specifically how it will help providers?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one of the things was that Microsoft over the past several years has been leaning in to think about how technologies can be used for healthcare in general, developing HIPAA compliant platforms, enabling and developing further FHIR APIs to bring information in from disparate systems, and allow that information to then be analyzed and potentially AI and ML to be applied on that. Developing teams as a collaboration and coordination toolkit for healthcare providers. And then also pulling FHIR capabilities within all the different platforms that are offered, including Azure, Dynamics, Modern Workplace. And what we realized was that what was needed to enable this to make this relevant across the care continuum was both internally within Microsoft and also externally, an ability for the data to flow from where the patient is and the clinician is to the different platforms and systems of record based on the clinical scenarios. So what I mean by that is if, let's say, a patient is interacting with technology, and we start off with that first example of a chatbot, where you have perhaps you went to the Providence Health System. And what we've done now within the Providence Health System is identify that we need to potentially stay at home, or but we need to at the same time speak to a physician or a clinician. Well, within that context, we can then go directly from an AI-based chatbot to a Teams-based bookings application, which would then allow us to go into Teams, which is to do a virtual consult. Now, that transition from a bot to now a Teams a consultation is a handoff that occurs technologically. Now, within that Teams consultation, there might be a desire to potentially bring in other team members and other clinicians for a further consultation. And maybe there's a test that needs to be ordered, and in the results of that context potentially be brought up within that Teams environment. So now leveraging a FHIR API to pull that information within Teams. And what we're realizing is that then once that conversation has occurred, there'd be an opportunity for us to be able to take that same conversation that we had, go from voice to text, apply the AI technology that allows for natural language processing of voice, and put that into a context that can be understood, reformatted into a progress note, and integrated seamlessly into the electronic health record. This is an application that we developed with Nuance that allows us to then be able to then create that seamless experience back into the clinical workflow. So this is what we're talking about, where the Microsoft Cloud for Healthcare allows us to be able to then move from system, platform, and enable a more seamless flow of the data. And that is something that Microsoft is actually going to be launching at the end of this month. We announced it earlier, but the GA will be coming up soon.
Exciting stuff there, Dr. Ru. And I want to ask as well, I know what's weighing on the minds of our listeners is financial recovery right now. It has been a tough year for many providers from a financial perspective. So how can new technology help them recover financially?
Well, the first thing we saw was telemedicine was the first opportunity for them to be able to leverage some of these technologies. And what happened was over a very short time period, we saw a rapid adoption of telemedicine. And then with the CARES Act and a variety of other legislative actions, reimbursement and some of the restrictions for providers to be able to provide care across state lines, we saw a significant number of those barriers removed and incentives applied. Well, that allowed us to be able to then truly understand that there could be significant benefit from the telemedicine, and it allowed a source of continued income through that process. Now, the other element is organizations, many are still based on fee-for-service, and they've been trying to figure out ways to optimize and enable their procedures to be delivered. Well, again, technology allowing us to be able to understand and streamline that, make this something that could be done in some cases virtually prior to, in terms of the scheduling of it, potentially the telemedicine preoperative components, but streamlining that whole process through this digital platform, these digital platforms enabled organizations to rapidly start standing up some of their surgical and procedure services. And what we're seeing across the board is these type of opportunities for us to be able to leverage the technologies that we've done during the pandemic will, despite the fact that we're starting to see some decrease because of the fact that, you know, in many cases, hospitals are starting to recover and clinics are recovering, there's still a significant level of activity that's done virtually. And that's going to persist. I think part of what we saw before was the fact that both on the patient and consumer side, as well as on the clinician side, there was a hesitation to try something new. You know, it's like, why change when you've got something that seems to be working? Well, now that we've actually tried it, and it's seeming, and for in many cases, people are finding this to be better, more efficient, more convenient than what was done previously, and that people and clinicians can get reimbursed for this, and now we have an ability to be able to do this in a more efficient manner, it's enabled us an incredible option to continue that process even post-pandemic.
Absolutely. And then I want to ask you, what distinguishes Microsoft in this space? What is Microsoft's biggest strength when helping providers, you know, so sort of usher through this digital transformation that the industry is going through?
Well, you know, when we think about the healthcare provider space, I think one of the things that we have to acknowledge is that the key factor, one of the key factors for how we deliver better care is our clinicians, our physicians, and our nurses. And almost half of physicians and nurses across the board are burned out. Burned out because of COVID, but even prior to that, they're burned out because of the administrative workloads. And what we're finding is that the need for us to be able to address that will have to occur in many different avenues. But one of the ways that we can try to alleviate that is through reducing the burden of documentation into the electronic health record. I mentioned the technology that we have that we developed with Nuance. It's called DAX, Dragon Ambient Experience. That allows us to be able to take voice to text, convert that into a format that is understandable, so there's back-end codification to terms, reformat that into progress notes and ancient history and physical notes, and then integrate that into the electronic health record. It's been shown in some of the early pilots that we've done with Nuance that the percent of documentation, the time to documentation, has decreased by 50 to 75%, and then similarly, the increase in clinician satisfaction has gone up by 88%. So we're recognizing that EHR documentation is one of the factors that leads to clinician burnout, and technology is going to have a dramatic impact on that. Now, that is, I think, going to be one of the first things that we'll notice in terms of how natural language processing will allow us, and artificial intelligence will allow us, to be able to translate these incredible benefits of tech into things that we can see real time. But we can also start thinking about how we can use text analytics to analyze progress notes and other types of free text and start understanding this new world that oftentimes gets ignored or only frequently or infrequently accessed, and bring that into the mix and allow us to be able to then potentially leverage these new data sets. And through that process, we should be able to then provide a greater opportunity for AI and ML to be applied on these different data sets. That's going to allow us to be able to then lead towards newer and more interesting applications for both healthcare providers as well as patients.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like, you know, really in the beginning phases of something very exciting. Dr. Roo, I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me today and our listeners. Do you have any final thoughts for them? Anything you want to leave us with?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you again for the time. You know, one of the things that we all think about today, we're thinking about access to affordable care. We're thinking about the rising cost of healthcare. We see the disparities of care all the time. And to really address this, we need to start thinking about the individuals, and we need to understand where they are on their journey. What are those barriers? And then once we understand and are able to capture that information, and that information can be captured through indirect measures, like as simple as things like your zip code, that can give us a lot of information about where you're at. Understanding also your biometrics. Certain individuals need to be tracked and monitored. A lot of this information is going to come from things that we know of today, such as your electronic health record, your medication list, but also things that wearables and other types of devices. And as we pull all that information and deeply understand where individuals are, we can apply the insights, the AI and the ML applied on these broader data sets, to then allow us to be able to then determine what needs to be done to enable a coordinated care system across the care continuum. And technology is going to enable all of this. It's already allowing us, through many of the pilots and examples I've shared, a vision of what's possible. And what's possible is better experiences, better outcomes, and lower costs.
I think that is a perfect place to conclude this conversation. Dr. Roo, thank you again.
Thank you so much. Real pleasure.
And that is all the time we have left for today. Dr. Roo, it's been wonderful. We also want to thank our podcast sponsor, Microsoft. You can tune into more podcasts from Becker's Healthcare by visiting our podcast page at beckershospitalreview.com.